Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. All right, Devin, what do you got for us this evening?
A hot dog at the ball game beats roast beef at the Ritz.
That's a good one. I like, it's just about like the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Went to the baseball game today, and folks who follow along on Instagram will have seen my posts. So I went with my daughter, which is fun. And the O's won. Always love that. Got some good seats, you know, good giveaway seats that Devin is able to get for working for the O's. So it's a really good, right out in the middle of the outfield. Couple rows, we were like row three, so it was nice, and it was fun, good times.
Yeah, and then we, can't say exactly how it happened, but you got upgraded to some nicer seats. But
right, yeah,
some people know some people,
Yeah. And, we usually do that anyway, just depending on.
They kind of move around, yeah.
Yeah, like after a certain inning, everyone's kind of moving and everyone's settled. So if there's open seats, you kind of just
right.
People don't mind if you move around. But I always like the seats that we get. Like, I love those, They're like right on the field in the outfield. So there's it's a real good spot. The only issue is that it's right under the Jumbotron, the big screen. So we can't see the fun ball game stuff that goes on above us. So we can kind of see it. We can turn around and look up, but it's not easy.
You can see all my amazing replays and highlights.
Right, exactly. I did have the Old Bay sausage or dog or whatever it was, Old Bay hot dog, at the stadium today. It was all right. It wasn't as good as just regular Italian sausage, but it was the Old Bay dog, and then it had an Old Bay cheese plus peppers and onions. It was all right.
I will say people have been complaining about the food. They changed food vendors this year, so
yeah,
people complain a little bit. But who knows? I don't need it. So
yeah, right, exactly. And I was very tempted to get a beer. I was sitting there. It was hot. It was we're watching the game, and I had already had I had food and stuff and a water bottle.
You didn't.
I know. Well, yeah. Are you really?
Yes.
Like $1 billion for a beer.
No, that's true.
That's why. But I was sitting there and thinking about it, I wasn't thinking about it, and the guy walked by and he had Goose Island IPA. He was selling that out of the cooler. It was all icy. I was ooh, it looked good. I was I just reached down and grabbed my water bottle and took a big drink. I was I'm all right. Just keep on watching the game. Nah, but it was fun. We had a great time, and Kryn knows. She knows all the rules really well because she's played a lot of years of softball. So it's fun to watch her get into it. And she was rooting for, calling out different people's names. She's come on, come on. She even said this evening, she's my throat's a little sore from yelling at the game so much. I was nice. That's good. That's a good quality game.
It was a good game.
It was, yeah. We went up. Yeah, we kind of stayed either tied or up, throughout the game, just by one though. So it was great, and then had one insurance run in the eighth inning. Yeah, that was awesome. And then there was the guy hit. He almost hit a solo home run in the top of the ninth, and it just curved foul, or at least that's what the replay showed. So. It's hard to tell because I was right on the line too, kind of looking down. I was like, ooh, that's hard to tell because it was high. It was
the replay I showed was at an angle away from it, but then right. I zoomed in on the top of the pole there.
Yeah, I was watching that. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
And that's why I played.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I did say if I was betting on it and there was a computer who could tell you, I thought it might be in.
Yeah, I thought it might have been in too. I was completely ready for it to be in.
Yeah.
For them to change, but they had called it foul.
Right.
And then
so they weren't sure.
Yeah. But maybe they had a different angle or something. I'm not sure, cuz I'm assuming they have the feeds from everything. And do you have the feeds from, I guess you just have stadium production feeds, right?
No.
For your replays? Oh, you have everything.
No. Yeah, I got them all. I got all whatever truck cams I want.
Oh, nice.
So pretty much all, because they shoot the action, and then
right
in house don't really shoot the action, you know.
Right. They're catching. And if you're not aware, Devin works for the Orioles and the production crew, and his main job, which you do almost all the time now, he's been for years, is doing the replays, the instant replays like that, are played on the big screen, you know, actively throughout the game, and then through, you know, different pause times and stuff. So
I pick four cameras to take in at all times. I record four at one time, and then I can send out two cameras. But I can go back and forth between them infinitely, so I can show as many angles as I want.
So what do you mean? So you have four that are always recording, and you can change that four?
Yeah. So I have four ins, two outs. It's my outs are red and blue, and that's what I tell to the director.
Gotcha.
Okay. There was a strikeout, and you know, I'll just say now. You don't have to say anything other than red, and they know. Right. Okay, red replay coming. Okay, get ready. All right, roll red, take it. Mm-hmm. They transition. You see the replay and get out, and they get out of it, and then I stop the replay.
That's cool.
But it's all covered up by, you know, them doing transitions and stuff. All those transitions are timed to, like, get the thing rolling.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like something happens, and there's just, like, a graphic of, like, oh, yeah, home run, da-da-da, or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, you have, what, 7 or 8 seconds. You know, the one home run that I saw, we were watching the one home run that the Orioles hit, the replay was just, like, one shot. You know, it was just the whole home run. It was like just the hit, and somebody kept, you know, followed it the whole way, all the way out and down. And that was pretty quick. Like, they showed that replay in like 5 seconds after it, you know, happened or whatever. Maybe not.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Keep saying they.
Well, they as in the people who pull from you to put it up, right? Or I guess.
That's my the replay.
Director. Right, yeah. That's what I'm saying. But the people, the whoever, sure. The director that's like, okay, now take red and put on red. You know, like, so you have it. It's your playing. It's from your
I
from
have
your
control
setup.
Of the speed and what's coming out.
Right, yeah.
They're taking my, whatever I'm outputting at the time, they just grab it and show it.
Right, so it's like they have all the different cameras and all the whatever to show up on the screen, and so they like switch to yours. Yeah. Like, okay, we're showing Devin's red now.
It's just like any graphic package, any video, it's all coming from different computers. So, they have all the sources in front of them, so they can see them all, and they're just calling out what they want to grab and put on the screen.
Yeah, so they're just toggling between the different sources, and your source then is just being played on the big screen as well as on your computer at the same time. Yeah, that's cool.
So that's my normal home run look, is over the shoulder tight, roll that slow so you can see the pitch and the hit, and then there's a chase camera out in left field, and he follows usually out to the thing, and that's all you need. That's all you really have time for.
Right, yeah. So that's two shots, right? You said it's over the pitcher's shoulder.
Yeah, two cameras. Okay. So that'd be, I just say, all right, red, blue. And I start to roll red, and then they decide. I mean, I can say go to blue, but we all know each other now, so they just know. You know, you see the guy hit it, he looks up and starts to run, then you just switch to blue, and I'll have it rolling.
Right. Oh, I got you. Okay. That's wild. So they just switch after the hit, they switch, and
I roll back, the other one's rolling. I pick red, and I toggle it forward to a certain speed, like half speed. And then while that's going, I click over to blue channel, and I set up blue where I want it. So blue channel will be midair after it's hit sometimes. And then when I can see they're about to take it, I start to roll it real slow. So it never starts on a frozen image.
Right, yeah.
If you can help it. And then you just roll it as fast as you want. And then
that's wild.
There you go. And then I go back and I clip it off, and then I start building highlights with it.
That's awesome. It's fun. It's just like it's a interesting behind the scenes things that people don't obviously, you know, rarely ever to people hear
people
about
are,
that.
People are usually surprised about how many people are in the control room.
Yeah.
And it takes whatever 15, 20, 30 people to do what seems kind of like a simple show. But it's just a lot of people.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, what's Dad doing now? Is he still shading? Mm-hmm. Is that what he does? Yeah. So our father, who also works for the Orioles, shades cameras, which is where he'll make sure that all the different cameras are approximately the same, like, color tone and, you know, lightness, right? So because you have like one camera that's shooting in the sun and one camera that's shooting in the shade. It's going to be like a lot brighter, and you know, so that he adjusts all those levels actively when things are happening, so that way all the cameras look the same,
which right. is pretty cool. And we're constantly going from in the field play or like, all right, mm-hmm. let's get the hero at first base. All right, take that. All right, let's see the pitcher. So another camera gets the pitcher. Okay, then the inning's over. Then all our cameras kind of scramble to all right, let's get some crowd, or it'll be a specific thing. Hot dog race, kiss cam, this or that. All right, get crowd. We need this. All right, guys, and they all know. I mean, they know what's coming. So they kind of search during slow times and just kind of look around and find what they need to find. And that's a good thing about. Well, I've only worked in house for two clubs, Nats and O's, right. and Nationals. Had a lot of prepackaged stuff. Even though they had a really good show, really well done show, but a lot of stuff like Fan of the Game and stuff was chosen before.
Really?
Yeah, they shot three people out in the concourse and then picked one already.
Oh, weird.
So they had a lot of these bottled like bits, which I never liked because I always loved. I remember being a kid, I liked watching just fan stuff. You know, you watch people see themselves and go crazy, and then you're kind of hoping like as a kid or a person dancing or like cheering, or you have your sign.
Right.
You have a little bit more of a reason, like hold it up and, you know, and hopefully you get someone, they see you.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. Just music and crowd. It's overlooked a lot of times.
Right. And that's the anticipation of being on camera up on the big screen is so much fun, you know, for adults and kids, but especially for kids. You're like dancing. You're like, maybe they'll show us.
Right.
And of course, obviously, because, you know, we like your and dad's family and friends all have that connection with the control room. You know, we're almost always on big screen when we're not, you know, sitting under the thing. So
it was funny because dad's like, all right, did you, like, tell cameras where they are? I was like, oh, nah. He's like, what, you're not going to get them up? I was like, I don't know. They've been up before. Like,
yeah, I wasn't even thinking about it.
We could do it. And I was like, I didn't even see. He's like, oh, hang on. I'll do it. I was like, all right. Or, no, I think I was like, go ahead.
Maybe so. Right. I was like,
I got them tickets. I got them a ride. I got them like this and that. I'm like, you go, you do it.
Yeah, and same thing too. It's like it's always been, you know, it's often that we're up on the big screen, so it's not, you know, it's not the same.
It's always funny and fun. Like, oh, yeah, hey, you wave a little bit, like it's cool, but I know it's not needed.
And of course, and it's also different when it's unexpected. Right. When you're hoping, and then you see it, you're like, yeah, you know, or you're not really paying attention. All of a sudden you're up on the screen, you know, it's like, oh, hi, you know, but when we know it's like, dad's like, okay, next inning, you guys will be up. And then there was like a pitching change or something. So it was like taking a little longer. So they started showing like crowd, you know? And so I was like, oh, they'll probably get us up now. And then Kern was like, there we are. And so we're like waving. And then right as like, you know, as it cuts away, which is after what, like 7 or 8 seconds, something like that, you know, it's not super long. Maybe like 2 or 3 seconds before that, the people right in front of us realized that we were on the big screen. So they're like, ah, you know, and then it's cool seeing their reaction because they're like, oh, cool. Did you see that? We were on camera. Even though they were like, it was pretty close in to Corinne and I, you know,
you're like new here, huh?
Yeah. Right. First timers. I remember the first time I was on camera as well, up on the big screen.
Why don't you act like you've been here before? Okay. Yeah, all right. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Amateur hour in the good seats. Yeah, but it was fun. It's always a good time. And, you know, this is our first, Corinne and I, our first Oriole game this season. Just was like, you know, because we just finished school. That's the other thing. School is out for summer. And, Corinne and I both had a half day on Tuesday, and then, we had the day. It was really nice. And then I think it might have been Monday or something, maybe even Tuesday, when I was like, oh, maybe we'll, when was it? I think it was Monday. Yeah, because I was driving her to school on Monday, and she told me that she had just played like softball at school, like the week before they were playing softball in gym. And they had played a full 9-inning game over the course of a couple days. And her team won the, you know, because it was like I don't know how many teams there were, but or how many games they were playing, but there was like, you know, that game they won. And she was saying that on the other team, there was another girl who was that used to play with her in, you know, like rec and stuff like that. And maybe even like, you know, I think she used to play with her when she was rec. She didn't play with Corinne when Corinne was on travel team, but then she knew that the other girl had also played travel and still plays travel and like is super intense about it. And so she felt very like justified in her win, you know. It's like not just like more the knowledge that you're beating another team that has good people on it, right? Mm-hmm. It like mm-hmm. makes the win that much more special. Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, our team's really good and we just beat everybody because we expect to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they were like, the other team was trying really hard and they had some good players and they had a good, you know, one of the other girls was really good. So she felt extra good about winning that game. And she also felt good because she really knew the game well, you know, like a lot of the kids that she played right. with kind of knew, right? You know, because baseball is like America's sport, you know, but she like was talking to her, some of her friends, like kind of giving them the whole ins and outs of what's happening and why, you know, and when you should get excited and da da da. And like, you know, it was kind of fun. And I think this game was the first time that, the game today was the first time that she was like really into it, you know, in the last couple innings. And I think she just, cause usually when we go, it'll be like, Corinne and I and my wife, and then sometimes we'll bring some friends and stuff as well. So there's always some other things happening. And, mm-hmm. but when I, like, I just want to watch the game like the whole time, like mm-hmm. every single pitch, I'm in it, you know, I'm focused, but like other people will kind of be in and out of it. And they're like talking about different things and want to go walk around and do things. And so I think being in it and I'm like talking to her the whole time, kind of we're like talking about what's going on and how many outs there are and how many strikes there are. And if somebody gets a hit, we got to get an extra run and we're trying to get some insurance runs and, you know, so we're just kind of stayed in it the whole time. And she was getting super excited at the end. And especially when, Felix Bautista came up. She was like, yeah. She's like, mountain. She's like all cheering. I was like, yeah, it was great.
It is a good little like, video they put together.
Yeah, yeah, the mountain.
Dun, dun, dun. It comes in. Yeah. At night, the lights. I mean, we still flash the lights.
Yeah, I was
at
watching.
At night, it really kicks in when the lights. At night, yeah. Like it looks cool.
Mm-hmm. All dark out and all the lights are just strobing around and stuff.
So much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time. But... it's been nice. My, you know, like I said, Tuesday was the last day. Today is Thursday. Podcast will come out on tomorrow on Friday, but,
On tomorrow.
Yesterday was a super nice day. Just like woke up 8:00 and then my first day off and just, played a little, Legend of Zelda, you know, a little,
the new
little
one.
Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah. I played that in the morning for maybe about an hour. And then I went outside with the dogs and I was reading my book for about an hour. And then I came back in and woke up Corinne. It was like 11:00 and, she got up and then I started working on a painting, doing a painting for my mom for her birthday. So I was working on that. Mm-hmm. And, so I got, it's two panels, like a top and bottom, and they're both tall rectangles. They're actually going to go into a door, like a cabinet that my mom has that she's wanted me to do these paintings for, I don't know, like
10 years
at least. Yeah. So, so dad called him, like encouraged me to do it for her birthday, which is coming up on the 20th. So I may or may not get it done by the 20th, but at least it's like, it's in the process and I can be like, this is your birthday present and it's happening and it's being painted.
Better so. Get it done. Dad was like, yeah, I finally getting him to do it. I wanted him to do it by her birthday. So
we'll see. I mean, I'll paint it, but if it's not done by her birthday, it's not done. Like, I'm not gonna force it to be done. Like I don't have, you know, like tomorrow I'll be able to work on it some in the morning when Emery's over. Then I'm working with you in the afternoon. Saturday we're leaving at 6:00 to drive up to Pennsylvania to visit my cousin-in-law. Cousin-in-law just graduated. So Kayla graduated her graduate degree or whatever, just finished her graduate degree. And so there's a surprise party for her on Saturday, but we have to get there early because Corinne's actually watching a bunch of the kids and stuff. And with hopefully some other help. Listening. Who? Oh, Kayla. Oh, yeah. No. And so we're going to do that on Saturday, and we're spending the night, and then we're coming back. And then on Sunday, Dad and Mom are actually coming down to Kate and Sean's, and we're having like a Father's Day get together there at Kate and Sean's, having steak and crabs. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna do that on Sunday, and then,
well, surf and turf, you know.
And then what is that, today's like the 15th, so that puts us at 16 17 18 19th is Monday, so like I will see how much I'm done. Like I said, I mean, it'll be done enough for me to be like, it's happening, it'll be done in the next week or so, you know. It's not like it has taken me 10 years to paint it. It's taken me 10 years to start it. But now that it's started, like...
Now it'll be like 5 years.
I'll paint it until it's done, which will be, you know, a couple more days.
You're giving her the old, it's in the mail, here's a picture of it. Yeah. It's going to be really cool.
Like I said, I mean, it takes a certain amount of time to paint a painting. And it's like, what is it, like...
10 years and
12 weeks. 12 by... 15 or 17, something like that, or each panel. So the whole thing is like 3 feet tall by a foot wide, and it's like tall birch trees and stuff in a landscape and all. So
I will
it's
say,
not like a small little painting, you know. It just takes time just to cover it in paint.
I will say, in your defense, since you're the painter in the family, like you get. Like, whatever, you always get those jobs from, like,
yeah, right.
Can you do this? Or, and you're also the main handy person. So
yeah, like, I always get all the maker jobs.
Can you fix this thing? Like, can you do this? Like, so, there's a lot of that.
Yeah. But the painting is going well. I'm actually really pleased with it so far, so that's good. And Nicole texted me and said she really liked it, which is also really good, because she's usually my... you know, my most honest critic. I wouldn't say my biggest critic. She's my most honest critic. You know, she'll look at it and be like, I don't know, this is kind of weird. Or, you know, like, I really like this and I like this, but this is kind of, I'm not sure about this. So I know, yeah, I can always.
That's what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I can get some, like, good feedback from her. And I know it'll be, like, a similar aesthetic to my mind. You know, we both like landscape paintings that are kind of the same type of thing.
You need,
so
you need someone who has knowledge of it. Like, if I, if I were to show a video or something to Caitlin, and she's like, yeah, I don't know, it's weird, why are you putting that there? I'm like, hey, you just don't know, just forget it.
Yeah, it's, never mind,
it's good, trust me, it's good.
I mean, there's definitely times when I have like a thought about, you know, a painting or something that I'm like, oh, I like this part of it, and Nicole's like, eh. I'm like, okay, that's fine, you know, like, agree to disagree in that moment. Well, you can go right to hell.
You burn in hell and you die and go to hell.
But you know, if I ask her for like her opinion and she gives me her opinion of stuff, then I know that it's, and especially when it lines up with something I'm already thinking, you know, then I'm like, okay, yeah, I should change that or do something. And it's a little hard at this point because although there's a significant amount of paint on the canvas or on the panels already on the painting, like I kind of worked the background first, but I left these vertical stripes where the different birch trees will be. So it's kind of, you can kind of tell what the painting will look like, at least the general overall composition is kind of there. Like I built that in with, you know, basically what's going to be around, but it's going to have a lot of birch trees in it, like in the foreground. And I kind of left spaces for the main ones, but not all the ones that I want. Plus all the branches and stuff. There's going to be a lot of stuff covering the background. So I was like asking, you know, Nicole to give me her opinion on what was happening so far, but a lot of what you see so far is going to be covered up. So like, you know, it's like, this is a painting that's half done. Give me your critique on it. But when it's done, you're not going to see most of it. So, but I still, you know, I still kind of like, I like her opinion on it.
I like where it's going, but can I see less of it? Yes, you can.
yeah, I want to see. I think there's just too much that I can see right now.
Too much. Can you cover it up? Yes, that's what I'm going to do. All right.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right.
Can you hear that banging?
Wait, listen. No.
Hang on. Okay.
No.
My wife is in the next room killing ants with her shoe.
Boom. killing ants with her shoes.
Don't you love when the good weather comes and you find out where all the insects are living?
That's fun. That's funny.
Bang, 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 bang.
Killing ants with her shoe. That's so stereotypical. She's like, psh, psh. Yeah. But yeah, so that was fun. So that was that day. You know, so I woke up, played some video games, read a book for about an hour, woke up Korean, painted for like 4 hours, and then went down the shop for about, or actually no, then I sat down and I watched some sailing videos and took a nap for about 45 minutes. And then I went down the shop and I cleaned up for about a half an hour, 40 minutes, and then started organizing and getting back into working on the sheep shear knives, which I have kind of paused because we've just been doing a bunch of stuff. And then I went sailing. That was Wednesday night, which is super nice. And then, yeah, and then today, woke up, played some more video games, had some coffee, woke Corinne up, and then we went down to the baseball game.
You kind of sound home. Like me.
Yeah, well, I get 2 months in the summer to do it, so that's great.
Yeah. I'm like, Maeve, you want to play some Zelda? She's like, Zelda? Yeah, play Zelda? Right. She loves it.
Do you want to play? Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's funny, like both Tuesday and or Wednesday and Thursday, I'm playing in the morning, and Nicole's like, why you got to play right before I got to leave to go to work? She's like, I just want to see her watch you play. I'm like, sorry, see you later.
I'll live stream it.
You can get a teaching job too, and then we both have off in the summer. Till that happens, good luck going to work.
See you later, sucker.
Go pay the bills. I'm a 12-month, I mean, I have like 12-month pay, you know, so my pay is just stretched out, so I still get paid over the summer for my, you know, I get less money, obviously, you know, like every 2 weeks because it's stretched out. I work 10 months and I get paid 12 months, so. Yep. But my check's still coming in, so her check's still got to come in, too.
That's how it goes.
That's right.
All right, weird turn here.
Okay.
Can you picture what Mary Tyler Moore looks like?
I think so. Yeah, a little bit.
What do you got?
Like dark hair, not super tight to her head, but kind of like a bobby type thing, but not long. Kind of like a mix between, I don't know, like, dark, you know, like brown eyes or something, brown mm-hmm. hair. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think how else to, like, I'm trying to think of other people I can compare her to.
You're like, she kind of looks like a Mary Tyler Moore type.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Kind of looks like a Mary Tyler.
So yeah. I am watching the Roku channel, and then I started... Excuse me. I started watching the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Okay.
Which Mary Tyler Moore is his wife in the Dick Van Dyke Show. Mm-hmm. I had never really watched it. I mean, you know, born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s, 2000s. There was really no way to see that. I didn't have like Nick at Night. And even by then, they weren't even playing that stuff. That stuff was too old, like the 50s.
Right, right.
So it's all this stuff our parents know. And they can, like, the second I started talking to Dad about it, he was, like, quoting lines from this show from the 50s, you know? And like,
yeah, right.
It was really cool, but the funny thing was, I turned it on because I like Dick Van Dyke, and I was watching, enjoying it. Yeah. Like, oh, this is a really, like, it's just a funny show.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where you, like, discover these old things that were the biggest thing in the country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're, like, oh, yeah. No, it's good because everyone loved it. Like, this was was Friends and Seinfeld before all that. You know, this was this was MASH and Cheers, but this was just, it was Dick Van Dyke Show and then the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Right.
But I didn't even know that was her. And I had to Google, like, who's his wife on Dick Van Dyke? Because I was like, she is smoking hot. Like,
she is.
You immediately have, like, her character is, like, quirky and funny. And strong and kind of sexy. Like, it's such a great, like, mix of things. Immediately, I have, like, a crush on her. You know, you have a crush on someone who's dead, you know. And then you're like, man, this chick is great. I'm like, oh, marry Tyler Moore. Like,
yeah. Right, no wonder. Yeah.
Oh, okay, no. Yeah, other people also have liked her before in the past. Oh, I get this.
Yeah, she's got like the 60s haircut, and I'm looking at her pictures now. Yeah, oh, so yeah. I was going to say like somewhere between, what's the girl who played Mary Poppins?
Oh, Julia. Julie. I know what you mean. Yeah, that kind of cute like, girl next door thing.
Yeah, right. Kind of somewhere between her and like I Love Lucy. Like if you kind of combine those two, that's kind of Mary Tyler Moore, except for prettier. Like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So
Lucille Ball is not. She's one of the prettiest. She kind of has a weird, like, big smile and stuff. Yeah. But you know, kind of, if you mix the two of them, you get a dark hair, pretty version of, you know, I Love Lucy.
Yeah. So, anyway. I guess maybe we'll see, unless I come up with something else. An early recommendation, HBO they have a documentary on her.
Oh, nice.
And her whole career and stuff. It's really good and really interesting.
And it's, so you were watching Dick Van Dyke, and then you watched that.
Yeah, funny thing, I was watching Dick Van Dyke and then I was falling in love with Mary Tyler Moore. And then a week later it's like a brand new documentary, Mary Tyler Moore. I was like, yeah. I will.
Nice. Well, we've been in a big Sherlock kick.
Oh, yeah.
And so we, like, my wife and daughter and I, the three of us, Nicole and Corinne and I, we've been watching it. And we just, we finished the first two seasons. And then we went to the library and I was trying to get the third season and they didn't have it. So I put a reservation in for it, but I got the fourth season. And then I got the movie that they did, kind of the offshoot movie, called The Abominable Bride. So we watched that. And then so yesterday, Corinne's like, has the movie come, has, you know, a third season of Sherlock come in yet? And so I checked and it had, as we, like, late last night, it had come in and it, you know, the library was already closed. So, so today on our way home from the baseball game, we stopped at the library and picked up the third season. And like all day, that's all she kept asking was like, how are we going to get it? I told her like three times, like, yeah, we're going to get it on the way home. And then actually, like, before we left, she's like, you think Uncle Devin can drive by the library and pick it up? I was like, no, he's going to drop us off with our truck and then we're going to go to the library and get it. She's like, oh, okay. That's all she thought about. Like, and then, like, I think sometime like third or fourth inning, she was like, she's like, I'm having fun, but I'm also really excited to watch Sherlock tonight. I was like, so we came home and we watched one episode, and then that finished literally like a few minutes before we started recording. So
nice.
She's been all about it. But it's, oh man, it's such a good one. The one with, you know, BBC with Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. Oh, man, yeah. It's so good. Such a good series. And like, they're so good together. And he's just like such an awesome Sherlock Holmes. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, have you listened to anyone else's recaps about Blade Show?
Let's see. So I listened to...
Or do you even care to?
No, I did. Yeah, I definitely care to. It's fun. Like, listen to other people talk about it. I listened to the Hustle and Grind guys. They took over the Work For It podcast. So they did Work For It last week. And then, so they like, did that. They kind of talked a little bit about it, so they did their own little recap. And then obviously I was on their podcast last week with about three or four other guys, and we all talked about our, you know, we recapped there. And then Jason Knight just put out a recap video yesterday or the day before, so I watched that, which is cool. And let's see, I know who else talked about it. Will Stelter, he made a really awesome, like, forged dagger. And during that, at the end of that video, he talked about the knives he was taking to Blade Show. So that was kind of fun. Mm. But yeah, no, I was definitely, like, excited. And now this week, the episode of the Work For It podcast with Brian House, Brian Cohn, and Ben Butler, they just came out with their episode, which came out today, Thursday. Yesterday, if you're listening to this on Friday, but they did their recap as well, and also talked about their the Foundry, which is the, like, when they invited a bunch of people back down to Brian's place and all worked together and did some stuff. So
I love the idea of doing that, but right after Blade Show, I would be so, it's exhausting enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a super stimulus, and maybe it's nicer to go, okay, there's that crazy a million people, and then you bring it down to like, all right, 10 guys we all know well.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's almost keep the momentum going, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to spend like...
Stand up, don't sit down.
You know, it's like 5 days, yeah, right? Six, seven days in a row where we're just going to do everything. Go to Blade and then we're going to hang out and it's like, go, go, go. You know, but I'm sure also, like, I'm sure they all just chilled and had lunches and dinners together and like, you know, but still, yeah, you're on the whole time, right? It's like, you know, just not being home or being home and having other people around. You're always on. But yeah, no, I mean, it would have been, looked like a blast, a bit cool. You know, when they move Blade Show, not to the last week of school, then, you know, I'd love to do stuff after Blade Show, but I'd like had to hurry back so I could, get back to work.
Get back to doing.
Yeah. And actually, so, our last day on Tuesday, last day of school, I went out with my coworkers afterward to a local bar, and we were all having drinks and having food and stuff, and they awarded, you know, as a consensus as a school, awarded me the Heart of the School Award this year. Mm. Yeah, it was really sweet. So, a couple years ago, I think the teachers kind of started it. And we awarded it to our principal a couple of years ago because she really like did a lot to like turn the school around and, you know, had, like did a lot for the school. And then, so last year, the person who won, and I'm not sure if this is the tradition, but it's like the person who wins nominates the next person for the following year. Mm. So, so I was nominated by that person. So it was nice. I was like, oh, but because of that, I get 3 days off whenever I want to take them. That's the award for getting it. I get 3 days off. So I may, take an extra, you know, like I might do like the 2 days, the Thursday and Friday before Maker Camp, to go up so I can go up on Thursday.
Really?
And, you know, get stuff. Yeah. So I can do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
I've got a, I'll put it this way. If I'm gone for more than 2 days,
yeah,
depending on what it is, I start to like, all right, I'm good. I get very daring. <Yeah. laughs> I'm done. It's like I have a limit on it. It's like I got 2 days and nights in me.
Right, yeah.
To really have fun. And them also might be like drinking multiple days in a row.
You're like, I can't do it anymore.
If like the first day there was no drinking, the second day, and you only had one big party night or something.
Right. Yeah.
It's like my body's just like, nah.
Well, it's also the fact that I'll be like demoing this year. So, you know, I wouldn't mind getting up there on Thursday. That way
you probably will have to. Yeah. We got to get that stuff nailed down for you.
Yeah. And I messaged Austin, at Blackthorn Resort who kind of runs and, you know, organizes Maker Camp, about kind of our plans, and he was a little hesitant on the bow shooting stuff because of the safety factor. Mm. So, we'll see how far we go. Right. And so my suggestion, he's like, I'm definitely down, you know, I definitely want you to demo. He's like, I'm a little worried about the bow shooting because of safety. And he's like, but if you have ideas of how we can make sure it's safe, I'm all ears, you know? So he's like, he's definitely willing to do whatever we can do as long as we can guarantee that it'll be safe. Mm-hmm. So if we can't guarantee that it'll be safe and we can't figure that all out, then it may just be bow making demos and maybe like a single target that's just low to the ground and people can test out shooting the bows, you know, as long as I can get like a half a dozen bales of hay to put up behind it or something, or, you know,
that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then how that goes and maybe like next year.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That being said, I would still definitely like to make the interactive target and then we can take it to Friends of the Farm and do it there.
Yeah.
Which would be fun. So we'll see how that works.
Now, if you did just we won't do like a whole thing. Mm-hmm. We'll just do a test area.
Right, yeah.
Where if people really want to test out something or you have somewhere. But you also, maybe you do one competition.
Right, yeah.
And like from people that people know.
Right.
Like Jimmy's going to shoot and you'll shoot. And anyone who's interested in that type of stuff, you like ask them and be like, hey, Saturday we're going to have like a presenter shoot off.
Right, yeah, yeah, like
so you have all like, the people demo, who you know demonstrator and trust, show offs
or whatever, right?
And you just and you award them like something, like there's right, like oh yeah. we got this trophy for this year Maker Camp, like shoot off.
Right.
And it'll be all the people who are actually presenting and stuff.
Right.
And you invite them personally. Like, hey, we got like 10 guys. You want to be a part of this? That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then people might want to see it. And then it's kind of fun because not everyone will be great at it, but it'll be like, and I mean, you always get surprised, especially with that type of long bow and those type of stick bows. You never know. Some people, it's their first time and they just kind of ping and you like nail it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes people who know what they're doing have ugly shots. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly. And it could be like something where like everyone who wants to participate gets 3 shots and then, you know, the top, like whatever, the top 5 or something, then each get another 3 shots, you know, and then, you know, something like that. Then we kind of whittle it down almost like a bracket style. But, you know, it's like, because inevitably if you have like a target with like, you know, 3 rings or 4 rings, you're going to have probably a bunch of people that have the same score. You know, you probably have ties for first, second, third, something like that. So then you take that kind of group.
I don't know. I don't think you will.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, because...
I mean, you will have some ties.
That's what I mean, yeah. I would think that we'd have, it like, depending on how many people it is. So it's like 15 people or something, you know.
You do a random drawing. Okay, these person, pull out the hat. Okay, you go first, you get 3 shots.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just keep pulling the names out of the hats of the people who you know who want to do it, who are all there at the same time.
Right, yeah.
And then, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And a little early sneak peek, I think I would like to do the big persuader mallet, the mortised and tenoned timber frame mallet for my maker camp maker swap for this year. And that'd be fun because we can do a video of that and then we can use that as the maker swap. And that's like cool because it's from the timbers from the bridge, you know, and the pegs and stuff. So that would be cool to put that together. But like, do something cool and interesting with the actual head of the hammer. Maybe some cool carvings or something. I'm not sure exactly, but or maybe it's just like nice faceted and looks really clean. And but then like the timber framed mortise and tenon, you know, draw bore peg, so it's really tight, and then some kind of cool handle. So.
Yeah,
that'd be a fun big like the big persuader mallet.
Yeah,
I know it's supposed to be like small enough that people can fly with, but if it's not, I'd be happy to like ship it to whatever.
It sucks. It sucks. I won't be there. I'm sad.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
I'm very sad. So this baby needs to come early, so in the future, I don't have to miss anything. I don't have to miss their birthday. I don't have to miss any of that.
Yeah, come like October like 3rd or 4th or something, you know.
Perfect.
That would be perfect, yeah, because then it's, you know, then you're always a few days ahead, and then, you know, yeah, because it's usually like right around then, right? So you would do it probably the weekend before, and, you know.
Yeah, it's horseshit.
It's bullshit.
This is bullshit. So speaking of Maker Camp,
yes,
I am now the biggest Jimmy DiResta fan, and I'm late to the party, folks. That's my recommendation, Jimmy DiResta.
Jimmy DiResta, a little YouTube
he's
channel.
He's like this weird New York guy. He's like up in some like hillbilly town.
And did you hear he had a weird, cool show?
Yeah, apparently a Netflix show with some other weirdos from up there. No, but like. The last 2 videos, I have loved.
I watched the graveyard one or whatever.
How exciting is that? Buying a new property. That is just like, and what a cool, beautiful property and like all the things.
Yeah, all the different stuff. Yeah, and he just sees it's so funny.
It's content.
He kept calling it content.
You know,
it's really
I gotta do this and that. And,
it's just good content.
It's just content. There's it. This floor. It's a content floor. Content wall. Yeah, I loved that video. Really great, really good stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, that was right because it was the bulldozer one and then the graveyard one.
Yeah,
it's good stuff, man.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, you should like if you like that type of stuff, just look back at his like, you know, when he's he's got some other good restoration videos as well as like. Property stuff, you know, about like his timber frame barn that he was putting up the first year that we went up and you know, but yeah, no, it's fun. And it's like, you know, he obviously like there's all sorts of different things, but that's just like his style, showing what you're doing, you know, doing it quick and just kind of following along with the story. And he just, everything he's making is just content. So he's just always like, you know, piecing it together and tracking his progress and showing you what he's done. And it's cool.
Yeah. Really good.
He's got his boat in the,
I know,
in the house or in the barn. He's like, I moved the boat over to the barn.
I know. I wish in some alternate universe we could, you have the barn on your property. That, yeah. Like, how cool is that barn? If we could, like,
yeah, oh my gosh,
talk about content. If we can make that into, like, the Art of Craftsmanship offices and,
yeah, like offices and studio, like big, like the whole downstairs, like a everything. Giant shop. Oh my gosh.
Like, we would clean so out awesome. All those stalls. You'd have, like,
yeah,
10 rooms for whatever, uh-huh. A big podcast area, a big somewhere to shoot, a workshop, and then you got the big hay loft upstairs, which could be.
Oh my gosh.
Like so cool. Arrow, you know, shooting stuff and then yeah, right. A basketball net and like just like such a fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, you know, one day maybe. We'll just keep on trucking.
Yeah.
Keep on making stuff, keep on living the dream and the dream just keeps expanding, you know. That's fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said earlier, I did kind of pull out the sheep shear knives and dusting them all because they've been sitting down the shop, you know, in a bin all together with the handles and stuff and getting dusty. So I dusted them off and started looking at, like, I have three that are pretty much close, really close to being done. Like, all the, I think it was 12 total. So that's six pairs of shears that I cut apart and made into the knives. I've cleaned them all and I've ground them all. Like, so they all, and you know, the bevels, everything is perfectly ready to go. They just need the handles attached, and that takes a little bit of time. So I have three of the handles rough shaped to their actual final shapes. I just have to do some finished sanding and then I can pin those together. But I'm like excited to get back into it because it's a fun project, and I'm also excited to sell them. You know, like I can make an okay amount of money if I sell them all, and I've gotten a lot of interest in them. You know, like right when I started posting about it, there were at least seven or eight people that were interested in purchasing. So that's yeah. Cool. I've also been thinking about just practicing more blacksmithing on railroad spike knives. Because I have, you know, probably 50 railroad spikes. So it'd be kind of cool to just make a bunch of spike knives and keep practicing them when I get a bunch of them that I like, you know, put those up for sale as well. Or maybe send some out to patrons or something, you know, just to like have like one thing that I do a bunch of, you know, because I think that's really where you can learn a lot is repeatability. And you're like, practice this thing over and over again. And I don't do a lot of that on the channel because we do all sorts of different stuff. Now, like we circle around different types of content often and we come back to it, like knife making and, you know, woodworking and boat making and tool restoration and axe stuff, you know. So those things I do more often, so I understand those processes more, but I don't do a ton of blacksmithing. So right. I think it'd be fun to use some of this summer to do some blacksmith knife making. So whether I'm doing like sheep, you know, doing, you know, railroad spike knives or blacksmith knives or something like that, just, working on controlling the metal, you know, getting the blade where I want it and the shape that I want it and try to forge as much to shape as possible and the right thickness and all. So I thought that'd be kind of fun and that's something that I can do. And if they, you know, if I screw them up, it's no big deal. Like I just toss it, you know, like, or like make it smaller and do something else with it, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Make it a novelty or something. So I'm excited. That'd be fun. I need to make my forge better because it's not very efficient because of how it doesn't hold heat very well. You know, it's right. Not the bricks inside are not reflective. So, I mean, I could do as simple as just getting, you know, different bricks, getting like the lighter forge bricks, which are more reflective. So I could do that, which I'll probably end up doing, but I have to kind of rework my forge a little bit to make sure it's a little bit more efficient and I can get hotter. So
yeah,
I'm excited to do that. So yeah. And then we'll be finishing up Blade Show. You know, you talked about that, finishing up our Blade Show video.
Yep. We'll be doing that tomorrow and do some voiceover and the wrap up thing and building a garden door, all types of crazy stuff tomorrow. I'm gonna run out. I gotta get groceries, but I'm gonna grab 2x4s and some hardware and stuff so we can build a quick garden door tomorrow.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it'd be fun stuff.
Yeah, that should be pretty. That's an easy, you know, construction. If we just do like butt joints, that's fine. If we or even if we do like mitered corners, you know, we could do 45s on all four corners and screw through it that way. Mm. You know, or just Craig jig them all together. A little bit of glue, a little Craig jig, and get a nice secure door. And then you have, what are you going to put over it? You have the like the mesh.
I've got the wire.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nice. And you have, what do you have, like staples or something to put it on with?
Just staple them in and
nice.
Be done.
Cool. Yeah, it'll be fun. And yeah, it's like I said, I'm pretty busy this week. It's nice. Although, like, you know, Wednesday was my first day off from school, and it was pretty easy going. Yeah, it was a pretty nice day. Although we did sail Wednesday night, and it was a hell of a blower on Wednesday night. Oh my gosh. It was blowing. It was definitely the highest winds I think I've ever sailed in.
Damn.
Easily gusts into 30s and, ooh, you know, sustained in the kind of the like low 20s for the first like half of the race. The wind started to die a little bit later and became reasonable in the last part of the race, but we had a reefed main, so we had our main like pulled down some, and we had a really small head sail up. We had our 90, which is like less than the space between the head stay going from the front of the top of the mast to the front of the boat back to the mast, that kind of triangle shape. Most front sails are bigger than that. They come back past the mast, but the one we had up was called a 90, and that's the size. It's 90% of that triangular shape. So with like a reefed main and the 90 up, we were still like dumping wind off the main the whole time and barely holding it. It was crazy. But it was a wild ride. But you know, with all that, I think that was the right sail plan for that wind for racing. And we probably couldn't have held anything bigger. And maybe throughout the race, we probably could have put up some bigger sails. We did take the reef out of the main once we turned and went downwind, which is good. So we took the reef out, but we just kept our small sail up because it was blowing pretty strong. And our spinnaker, which is our big colorful downwind sail, that is getting pretty old and has some little kind of micro tears and some patches that we've patched and stuff. And so we're always kind of like gentle with it. So in that wind, we were like, nah, it's not worth the risk. We're not going to put it up because we're just going to blow out the spinnaker and then we have to buy a new spinnaker. So, which we have to do anyway, but it was fun. It was blowing, man. Whew. It was a ton of wind. And, we had most of our crew there. Charles wasn't there and our buddy Tim wasn't there, but, Drew and Jack and Sean and I, and then Kim, who sails with us, and Justin and Corinne, and yeah, we had a good time.
There you go.
She's like definitely into it now, which is fun. I'm excited to have her excited about sailing because, you know, I always hoped that she would be excited about sailing because I love sailing so much. And so like when I'd bring her out when she was littler, she was always kind of like, yeah, this is fun, but it's also fun to like sit down underneath and just lay in the sails and, you know, play games and stuff. So now that she's like, She like always wants to be up on board and she always wants to help and she's very confident about moving around the boat and she understands the mechanics of how the boat works now. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I was actually going to have her, in the pit with me tacking on Wednesday night, but, the winds were really strong. And also because we had such a small head sail up, I didn't really need an extra person in the pit with me, but usually with our big sails, one of us I'll tack and pull in and then someone else will crank as I'm pulling in. So I was going to have her working with me in the pit, but she was just rail meat. Everybody was rail meat except for, only the necessary people that had to be not actually up on the rail were moving around, but everyone else is like high side, be as high as you can, keep the boat level.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was fun. No, yeah, it was good.
So lastly, we don't have to talk too much about, cause I don't want to give it away, but we have a specific idea for a type of review thing we're going to do.
And
I think it's a good angle that not a lot of people have done. It's a specific type of review and graded in a certain way that I think will be interesting. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give it all away until maybe we put the first one up and we'll talk about it.
Right.
I just want to get the first one up so we can say, look, we did this thing. Not that everyone's going to jump on it. It's still a review of something, but
right.
The things that we're reviewing and how we're doing. And I just got, now this is probably going to throw you guys off the trail because it doesn't really make sense. But Dust, I just got the James May gin in.
Nice. Right on. That's awesome.
So that's not exactly what, it's definitely not all going to be alcohol. It's going to be all types of things, but in a certain vein of things. So
just I'm excited to do that review. That'll be fun.
Have some drinks and do a certain style and thing of review. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and we still have to work out kind of the specifics and all, which is, you know, one of the reasons why we don't want to talk about it, because we want to keep it a little bit, like, you know, excited and secretive before the videos come out. But we also still need to work out all the, like, specifics of how we're going to do the rating system and how we're going to do different stuff. And
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, what the reviews are going to be about, how we're going to choose what we review, those things. So but yeah, no, it'll be fun. I like that idea. It was interesting, and I started thinking about, you know, the different things that we could do, you know, and how we would find those. And and it also was kind of interesting because I'm like, okay, well, now I can buy some of these things that I probably wouldn't have bought otherwise. You know, because now there's a reason
to. I have an excuse. Babe, I need it.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's gotta be, I got to review it, yeah.
So anyway, won't drag it on, but we're working on something. Yeah. And that, you know, that we'll probably have a couple of those up relatively soon because they're quick to do. And we already have some things that we're ready to basically be reviewed and sit down and do them the way we want to do them.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's exciting stuff coming up.
Yeah, cool. What are you drinking tonight, Dev?
I got a New Belgium mixed pack. Mm-hmm. So Voodoos and all those, really good stuff.
Oh, that's good stuff. Nice. Yeah. I'm drinking the, what is this? The Great Lakes mixed pack.
Oh.
Tropicoastal. And then what's the one I'm drinking right now? This is kind of a different one. I just opened it. Awesome. It is Crush Worthy. It's a low-cal citrus wheat.
Ooh. Oh,
Crush Worthy. Yeah. So, but yeah, you have any plans for Father's Day? I mean, like, you
guys. Yeah, anything? Yeah. Gonna have guys gonna come down. We're gonna do some grilling and have some few drinks and
nice.
I think this is public knowledge. I don't know. No, I'll keep some stuff under my hat. But okay. Until later. But anyway. That's it.
Nice, right on. Yeah, well, I was talking to you as we were coming back from the game today about possibly like the 24th, that Saturday. Because I said I think Nicole has something planned. And but she was actually telling me today, she's like, yeah, there's something on that Saturday that I have planned for me and Corinne. So she planned something for us to do together for like a Father's Day thing. But I was like, yeah, it's on the 25th. She's like, no, it's on the 24th. I was like, no, there's like a weird thing on the 25th that I don't recognize. It was like, it's called Guppy's Gulch or something like that. I was like, and she was like, no, that's not it. She's like, that's Corinne's Girl Scout troop. They're doing something on that day, and that's where it is up in PA. So I was like, oh, okay. So I don't have that Saturday free because that's the where she's got something planned for me. But I was when I was out on Tuesday with my coworkers, I asked two of my friends, Leah and Steph, who I work with, and you know, I know both of their husbands and stuff. I'm like, you guys have, you know, they both have two kids each. I was like, you have anything planned for Father's Day? And they're like, no, not really. I'm like, dang, really? Nothing? They're like, no. They're like, you know, we're going to have some food and we'll meet, either order out or, you know, like we'll make what they want. But they really just want to like chill and relax. And I was like, yeah, I guess that's about right. You know, that's pretty much like what fathers want to do. Just want like good food and just to relax.
Weird thing as well, a little bit of like your wife can kind of plan something for you, but also you're not her dad. Mm-hmm. You are the father of her children. But to a degree, it's kind of like, well, you know, we're not going to make a big thing out of it, but, you know, just Yeah, my thing was like, I don't know. I just want to, yeah, probably that. Hang out, yeah. Do nothing. Have my buddy come over and grill and have some beers and then probably play some video games that night.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's the stuff that I want to do every day. Yeah, that sounds really good. Yeah, that's and like Nicole told me last week because we were grocery shopping on Thursday before we went backpacking last weekend, which actually was really nice. We went super long distance. We went like 15 or 16 miles in one day, way more than we thought we were going to. We were all super exhausted. And I guess that happened last week since the last podcast. But we were grocery shopping and she was like, yeah, as we were leaving, there was like a sign for crabs, that you could get. And she was like, oh yeah, next weekend on Sunday, we're going to go to the Porter's and have crabs and steak. I was like, yes, greatest Father's Day ever. I was like, that's just what I want. Crabs in the pool and hang out and mom and dad are going to come down, which will be cool.
Yeah.
But camping was, I mean, backpacking was wild. We had a really long trip, but we also, the way we organized it, we started in one spot and kind of drove in, parked, camped like about a mile off the trail, which is up this really steep hill, camped. And then the next day we hiked back to the car, dropped all our packs and everything off of the car. And then, just put on like a small pack with water and snacks and stuff, and then did the whole day hike in that. So we hiked about maybe 4 or 5 miles, maybe 6 miles or so, to where our friends were meeting us, and then we completed a big loop with them, which was another like 6 or 7 miles, into Harper's Ferry, and then back to our car. Then we geared up, put our packs, our full packs on, and then walked back up the steep 1 mile hill up to our campsite for the second night. But it was a long day, a lot of hiking, and by the end, like when we got to the campsite, because we had Toby and Luna, our dogs, with us, and they just like, when we got to the campsite, we hooked them up on just leashes, you know, like leads on trees, and like they just both laid down and didn't move until we went to bed. They just like were done, like completely exhausted, you know, because they get like less exercise than we do, right? Because they're like just in their crates at home. And but it was a beautiful weekend though. It was really nice, and we had, you know, on the when we went out on Sunday, we hiked down and then hiked to the river because the Susquehanna is right there near Harper's Ferry. And then we like spent about an hour or so like at the water, and the kids were all swimming and we were hanging out. And The one cool thing though about doing that, about like knowing that you're only going to hike about a mile before you set up camp to eat, is that we brought like really good food. Nicole made she marinated a bunch of chicken. She like cut into strips and like a really good like curry marinade. And then we just used that. We just stuck it on skewers and cooked them over the fire. So we carried that in. But I also brought beer, which was also really good. Oh, so it was like
very rare.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on the backpacking trip, we never bring it. Yeah,
right.
So that was cool. So we had like, I got a 12-pack on the way, and on the first night, Nicole and I took 3 in, so I had 2 beers. She had 1, and then, so the second night when it was 4 adults, we had 9 beers. So we were able to each have like 2 beers, which was really nice. So, which is a luxury in backpacking. So just right. Like sticking to the packs, and we had kept it in a cooler and ice the whole time, so they were nice and cold. And It was a really nice way to end the day.
Yeah.
Have a beer and sit around the fire, skewer some meat, and we made some rice and stuff, and it was great. The dogs did not move. But yeah, that was good. It was good times. And now we're got another busy weekend coming up, but it's all fun stuff, you know. It's easy to like do busy stuff when, you know, it's summertime. I'm like, yeah, let's stay busy. Let's do stuff. Yeah,
let's do things.
Cool. All right, well, what do you have? Anything for a recommendation other than Mary Tyler Moore documentary? Or what was the other thing you were talking about?
What are the strangest recommendations? What was the other one?
Some other show or something, or Duresta.
Yeah, Jimmy.
No, you say earlier. I forget.
I don't know. I don't know. I'll just go with that. That's really what's been on
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, that's what's been on my brain. That's what I've been doing. Oh, well, the new season of Black Mirror comes out. The latest special of Grand Tour comes out, which might be one of their last ones. Because,
man,
But it's going to be, I just love their specials. I love everything they do. I'm obsessed with those guys. And hence why we're doing a James May Gen thing. Just because I think it'd be great. And then the style of review we're doing works with it. So that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
So.
Yeah. There you go. Cool. Well, I'll put up the Mary Tyler Moore documentary on HBO as your recommendation. Mm-hmm. I have two recommendations this week. One is Instagram called Hammers Lands Maiden. And give me 1 second. So he actually made this really nice little 3-inch kind of carving draw knife. That's like a blacksmith style, right? So the handles kind of come straight out and then curve around back into it like a blacksmith knife would be. Sorry, I'm trying to bring it up. I had a picture so I wouldn't forget, but yeah. So hobbyist blacksmith and knife maker and axe maker. So he makes some really awesome like Swedish and, you know, Scandinavian style axes, Viking kind of style axes and carving axes and stuff, with really cool like colored axe construction, which is really like more technical, but does some really beautiful blacksmithing stuff. And yeah, he just posted these really cool little mini draw knives that are just really beautifully forged. So you can check him out. That's Robin, and the Instagram is at Hammers Lands Maiden, MEDEN, Hammers Lands Maiden. I'm forgetting where he's from, but
Sweden.
Hammers Lands Maiden. It looks like he's maybe, I don't know, some type of Scandinavian country. and then my other recommendation is another a knife maker that I just started following, which is Fox Handmade Knives. Really beautiful knives, and they're really they are very close to my aesthetic of what I like in knives. mostly culinary knives, but just like really beautiful lines, faceted handles, kind of really similar to the Giotto that I made for the Giotto challenge. And a lot of it, he has got like, you know, all sorts of different sizes and different shapes. They're almost all culinary knives, but it'll do some cool, like, some of them are Damascus, some of them are monosteel, some of them have like forced patina. He's used some of the Baker Forging Tool, like copper Mai, you know, or like bronze Mai blade steel and stuff. So really awesome work. Out of Russville, Arizona, Scott Fox, and that's Fox Handmade Knives. So two really cool makers that just make really beautiful things and really nicely designed. So I think that's kind of why I was thinking both of them, because the designs on Scott Fox's knives are really beautiful and the lines match what I like. And then Hammers Lands Maiden and Robin, he does just some really beautiful lines, like the way he forges and the way he shapes things. It's like a really clean forging. So both really cool artisans of their craft and really, really good stuff. So two for the price of one.
Cool.
Cool. All right, everybody. Well, thank you guys for listening. This is a little bit shorter one, but, you know, sometimes we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Yeah, we're just over an hour.
It's perfect.
Last week, we were like, I figured it would be less just going over Blade Show stuff, but it was over 2 hours.
I know, so
that's
crazy.
Everyone who's expecting a two-hour podcast can be like, what, that's it? 1 hour? That's all I get for 1 week is an hour? It's a bullshit.
So we do it every week.
Nah, well, all right, guys. Well, make sure you don't forget to head over to Instagram. And if you want to see pictures of Corinne and I at the Orioles game today, Orioles won. Yeah. You can check that out over at Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship. And you can check out Devin's Instagram at The Art of Camera Guy as well. And you can follow along with what's going on in the shop and what's going on behind the scenes. Make sure you head over to YouTube and subscribe there and let us know. We have our wooden sword video, which is doing okay. You know, not the greatest video ever, but, you know, that's kind of what's to be expected when you make a wooden sword. But I'll be putting out the Blade Show video shortly in the next probably, you know, couple days, week or so. So that'll come out. We'll finish that up as much as we can tomorrow, and then that'll go out when Devin's finished editing it. Yeah, so head over there and check that out and subscribe if you haven't already, and like and let us know what you think by commenting, and you know, all that stuff makes a difference. And we try to make sure we stay on top of that to converse with the people who are making the effort. Yeah. And then if you want to support us further, and you know, for those people that do, we really appreciate it. You can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. We have a couple different levels over at Patreon, and the topmost level, the master level, we brought down some, so it's not as high price as it used to be. So if you're interested in being a master patron and you want to see your name at the end of our videos, because all the master patrons and the journey, or what's it, the masters and journeyman. Everyone who's a master patron or a journeyman patron gets their names at the end of our YouTube videos. So if you want to see your name there and support us with the Art of Craftsmanship, you can do that over at patreon.com. All right. Other than that, that's all for this weekend. You got anything else, Dev?
That's it. All good.
That's it. Cool. All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.